Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
The beauty of social selling in ABM strategy. That is what we are going to be discussing in today's ABM Conversations podcast. This is me, your host, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
And this is me, Manish Nepal.
All right. So today, let's first start fundamentally by asking this question. What is social selling? So when we talk about social selling, more often than not, we think about various things, right? So fundamentally, it comes down to building relationships with your prospects, customers, and the entire journey. And the reason we call this social is, and the reason we even call it social first than selling is because it's about building this sense of trust and relationship with your target audience. And selling comes much later. What I mean by that is it's not something like you send a connection request to somebody and the moment they accept, you start putting across a set of solutions that your company offers or just straight away start selling. No, that's not the case. What we're actually talking about is the idea of building relationships and then you build trust over a period of time. And it's purely relationship-based. The reason we even call it social is because this happens on social media platforms like LinkedIn or Twitter and most recently Instagram. And let's look at the ABM side of this. Why do we talk about social selling from an ABM standpoint? Now, when you look at ABM, the idea is that you start building one-to-one relationships with targeted accounts. We spoke about this in the game model of revenue marketing, where we said you gather a set of accounts, then you agree upon the right kind of accounts to go after, and then map the kind of conversations that you need to have, and then execute the entire journey, right? So it's about qualifying the prospects and then turning them into customers and then making them repeat buyers, that is by building trust and long-term relationships, the entire nine yards. And the research by companies have shown that the companies that employ social selling, they do at least 51% better. That is, they are likely to close or hit their sales quotas 51% more than companies that follow a traditional approach of selling. And it's not just about a great way of building relationships, but it's about not making a sale, but building trust over long periods of time.
You summed it up very eloquently, Yag. I think social selling is definitely a much more polished and evolved version of the traditional hard selling methods. And in one of our recent previous episodes where we talked about timeless marketing and sales strategies, we talked about how content marketing, unlike the traditional forms of advertising and marketing, is different because it aims at teaching, delighting, and moving your audience into taking certain action. I think social selling also fits that definition pretty much because it encapsulates everything ranging from building a personal brand on social media to content marketing and to consultative selling, right? And in episode number 30 of the ABM Conversation podcast, where we recorded a show with Jimmy Daly, he talked about his experience of being a salesperson in his small marketing agency while he was heading the growth there. And he talked about how sales is more impactful when you act as a free consultant to your customers instead of presenting yourself as a salesperson who is always trying to close, close, close. And I think that's very powerful. That's exactly how social selling should work and is better than the traditional forms of sales. Because in other words, we have evolved from the traditional way of buying leads, cold calling them, and then hard selling them our products. That old marketing funnel is weak and broken. Now, as a salesperson, we have to find the right channels of engagement where our customers hang out in the online world. We have to engage with them socially, just like how we do with our friends and acquaintances, and then educate them on how or why our product and offer is good fit to their problem or if it's not a good fit to the problem, maybe we should be upfront on that aspect also, right? And given the fact that over 90% of B2B buyers today are active on social media platforms like LinkedIn, there could have never been a more perfect time to start selling socially. So if you are thinking of launching an ABM campaign for your business, you just have to initiate a dialogue with customers and try to solve their pain points genuinely, even if it means you letting go of your customers who you think are not right fit for your business. Before we move on to the next section of this podcast, Yark, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors, Zest.is. Now, Zest is on a mission to add value to the marketing community. For people who don't know much about what Zest.is does, it's a marketing content stream that sits on your Google Chrome browser as a new tab extension. It's a platform where you can submit and curate high-quality articles, podcasts, infographics, videos, and everything related to marketing content. Its algorithms is powered by artificial intelligence, which allows you to handpick your own personalized content feed that is specific to your unique taste.
And when it comes to using Zest, it's not just me and Manish who use Zest quite a lot. We've also been continuously receiving feedback from you people from the ABM Conversations podcast community. We know that you use Zest quite a lot, not only to discover great content, but also submit your content and promote it. So if you want to be boosting your high quality content to an elite community of marketers, we would suggest that you sign up with zest.is/contentboost. Let them know that you're coming from ABM Conversations podcast, and you're sure to get a $75 off of your first boost. Now, the beauty of social selling that we are talking about, right? So it derives its ideas or principles from several areas. And you know, one of the primary things I would suggest is personal branding. So what I mean by that, there are two parts to this entire personal branding aspect that comes into social selling. There are a set of people who build expertise in a certain domain, and they start talking about that domain on LinkedIn or whatever the right platform, social platform for them is. And by virtue of what they say, they develop a sense of followership around them or trust around them. And then people start to look up to them for expertise in that particular domain. And then from there, they can translate that into conversations, sales, so on and so forth. And then there are other set of people who end up making their entire social profiles as, you know, it's something that comes across as a media channel for the companies. For instance, what I'm talking about is you will see these people precisely talking only about information such as, hey, you know what, my company acquired this product. Or it could be something like, you know, we had a new product release. The only kind of information that comes out from their social channels is an information that they want to broadcast on behalf of the company. There's nothing wrong in that. But if you want to build trust, you need to fundamentally understand that your audience wants to connect with people and not with brands. You would see that even a good example is you would see that the number of people following a company on an average is far lesser than a set of people connected to people in those companies. So you might have, you know, 20,000 connections, whereas the number of people that follow your company on LinkedIn or some social platform might be far lesser than that. And the second angle to this personal branding is that you need to align your personal branding aspect. Even if you're building your expertise, you need to align with your organizational goals. Otherwise, you're going to be having fundamental alignment issues within the organization. What I mean by that is it should not be conflicting. You know, it should not come, or even from an organizational standpoint, companies need to stop looking at these personal brands created within the company as threats. They need to be supportive of that. And, you know, if you could have five or six people within your company becoming the face of your brand, then you are going to be increasing the odds of making sales or building trust in a much, much higher way. Now, why do I call this, why do I call this as part of ABM? Because the moment we're talking about ABM, we are talking about reaching out to the right sense of audience. That is, instead of doing a one-to-many reach wherein I broadcast an information in a broad way and expect people to take up the bait, the other way around here is that we are connecting with people. So the moment we start talking about a solution to a particular problem, we can have one-to-one conversations with these prospects. And secondly, the advantage is that it's not just you reaching out and talking about something to a targeted prospect. It can also become inbound over a period of time. So when they have a question, since you come across as a domain expert in that particular area, then you might be a problem solver, and that might actually come inbound in your way. Let me now, whatever I said, it might come across as far too easy or too good to be true. I'll give you a case study if you want to take this up further. There's a company called InContact, which is a cloud contact center. And a few years ago, what they did was they wanted to take up this experiment of social selling. And like many of us here, you know, we don't straight away jump into something. So they divided the entire salespeople into two groups. Now, the first group, they said, hey, you go ahead and follow your traditional set of sales approach, that is your email drips or your cold calling or whatever you're doing right now. And then they pulled up a separate team and they trained them on social selling, especially on LinkedIn. So what they did was they said, the moment you start approaching, the moment you start building your own brand over a period of time, the results might be slightly different compared to the other sales team. Let's go ahead and do this experiment. 6 months down, when the company compared the results of what people using the social selling approach did versus the traditional one, it was noticed that this set that went on with social selling, they not only developed subject matter expertise in the eyes of their prospective customers, but they also were able to increase the company's revenue per sale by 122% compared to the other team.
Yeah, and if I'm remembering the case study correctly, the same case study also shows that the sales team at InContact were able to explore new opportunities and close more sales outside of the immediate focus area because of the personal brand presence that they created on social media. And the other advantage of building such kind of personal branding on social media is that it forces you to be in sync with a marketing team, right? When the sales people are trying to build credibility around social media, they have to be in sync with the marketing team in order to identify the right set of audience and curate the right set of content to share with the prospects. Therefore, social selling mandates the alignment between sales and marketing for an ABM campaign to be successful. And to add another perspective to what you said earlier, Yag, about social selling also being a very powerful inbound campaign, I think social selling is also extremely organic, and it is literally, it costs you next to nothing. It might not be entirely free because you still have to invest a lot of time and energy into building your credibility, building a brand persona and all that. But that time and energy you will be spending regardless of what marketing strategy you go after anyways, right? So social selling definitely accelerates your ABM strategy because it works backwards, which means you have to identify your target prospects first and then reverse engineer your sales process from that point on. So there is very less room for guessing and high rate of accuracy. So there you have it. You save your time, you save money, and you save energy by not spending your money and effort in 10 different places that are not going to give you the results. Social selling is definitely an integral part of a successful ABM campaign because it gives you high ROI and less wastage.
Right. And let me also tell you guys, there is a lot of tendency to confuse social selling with social media marketing. These two are not necessarily the same, though they tend to borrow a lot of things from each other. For example, we tend to have a lot of misinterpretation, or we sometimes use these two words interchangeably. Now, when you look at social media marketing, right? So they tend to use tactical aspects such as building followers or getting engagement and running super specific ads targeted at a specific set of people, so on and so forth. Though social selling is also about building this trust, building this engagement, and then later translating into sale. These two are two entirely different functions. In fact, we would even think of recording an entire comprehensive episode on social media marketing. But for now, we just wanted to say that there are areas that these two overlap, but let's be aware that these two are entirely different. And with that, we come to the close of today's episode of ABM Conversations podcast. And until we catch up with you the next time, this is bye from me, Yag.
And this is bye from Manish. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.